went through a public depression.
I've been dealing with this since I was 19.
Ooh.
And I also have to get annual MRIs and CAT scans.
You're noticing branding, colors, fonts.
I'm not paying attention to brands or businesses at all.
Our money doesn't work the same way.
I thought we were rich, Dunny.
You become the breath of fresh air in the room.
At 5, I'm living in the projects. At 22, the mayor appointed me to a 5-year term as a board of commissioner for the housing authority. You had to go through all of this for it to be what it's going to blossom into.
Welcome to another episode of Full Transparency with Donnie Wiggins, where I bring outstanding entrepreneurs on the platform to sit and have a conversation with me about all the wonderful things they're doing in business. And I want to get right to it, you guys. I got a blast from the past. I got one of my high school classmates. I got one of my high school classmates sitting right here on the sofa with me. You may know him for going viral for his branded black and white post. Mm. You may have seen him lately taking pictures of birds and you're wondering, what's going on? Is everything all right? You hear him talking about content and branding and marketing strategy. And that's because he has come from the corporate world in the marketing space, serving corporations, growing marketing campaigns, growing companies because of his marketing strategies, to now being one of our influential marketing strategist entrepreneurs of our time. Let's welcome a same age classmate, Mighty Woodard.
Minor detail, same school,
same class,
right? Same mascot. Hey, I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here.
I'm sure we sat.
It's been a long time coming too, so thank you for that.
Because let's talk about why I asked you to be on Full Transparency about half a year ago.
Yeah. This has been one of those years. You know how the ebbs and flows go, but we're here now. So
I thought we were friends though.
If you ever need anything, you can call me.
Within 6 months.
For sure.
I love it. All right. So, no, Mighty and I are not classmates. We are schoolmates. We went to the same school.
Yeah. What's up, Westlake?
What's up, WHS?
What's going on, Big Blue?
Lion, go Big Blue. Mighty, are you born and raised in Atlanta?
I was born in Griffin, Georgia, so about an hour south of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But I moved to the East Point College Park area when I was 6.
When you were 6.
So first grade all the way through high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then college in Pennsylvania, adulthood in Tennessee, and then back here. So
I know a little bit about the area that you grew up in.
Yeah.
Right? I know Westlake. Westlake is an outstanding school. It's in a good neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
I think so. And it's produced some leaders.
Absolutely.
But there's two sides to where we went to high school. There is a rougher side than mm-hmm. the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at you and when I think about the journey that you're on, I'm wondering like how you ended up in marketing.
Yeah, beautiful question. And the for perspective, because I think a lot of people think of Atlanta as a concept and they don't think about like the intricacies of what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta has that texture of barely making it and affluence, and you merge. So in a lot of ways, I think meeting those kids and their parents mm-hmm. sort of put me on a different trajectory. Not that my parents didn't do their part, but you just had to see something different. Right. So I played sports. I was also really gifted academically and I was torn between the two. Mm. I decided I knew at the end of the day I wasn't going to be doing push-ups and sit-ups and running mountains and the stuff that my friends that were in the NFL were doing. So, like, let's lean towards academics, but if athletics can work in it, let's do that. So I get to college. I'm doing both. I get a couple bad concussions, and I had to make a decision between how much I love sports versus protecting my brain. I went the protect your brain route, and I had some really great guidance from the doctors that led me down that path. So from there, it exploded because I was able to just dive into my genius.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on the fence between corporate finance, which would have went into like investment banking, versus marketing. Mm-hmm. And not the like most people think marketing for the creativity. They don't think it for the strategic building the business, building the brand side of it.
Yeah.
So once I met some of those professionals and I was a teacher's assistant nerd for mm-hmm. marketing, I was like, oh, this is a thing. Y'all pay people to figure out what other folks want and then communicate a message about it and then make millions and hundreds of millions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sign me up for that.
First, do you have any permanent injury from the concussions?
I have short-term memory loss mm-hmm. that I'll be with for a lifetime. So we are all of us, as we get older, you start walking in the kitchen, forget what you walked in for. Mm-hmm. So mine's just a little more pronounced than that. But for the most part, I went through probably like 5-7 years of migraines. That since subsided. But I do have a little bit of short-term memory issues.
Yeah. I'm sorry you're dealing with that.
And I wake up, this, people don't know this. Thank you for asking me this. It takes me about 20 to 30 minutes in the morning to get adjusted, like my spine and everything. Sort of, if I hop up, I'm dizzy, I'm lightheaded, I'm non-functional, migraine, et cetera. So I kind of have to ease into all the mornings.
So you mean to tell me that's not just age? Listen, because if I just hop right up out of the bed, I need a minute, like I need a minute to get it together, or I'm dizzy. Yeah. I'll start the day off with a headache.
Yeah.
I have to like slowly ease out. I thought I was just aging.
So part of that may be age. I've been dealing with this since I was 19.
Ooh.
And I also have to get annual MRIs and CAT scans and stuff just to make sure everything is kind of where it's supposed to be and not progressively worse.
I'm glad you chose you. And what did your family think about you choosing you?
Yeah. So the good part, like my family was woke before woke was a thing and spiritual before that was cool. So it wasn't like a big shift. They didn't see me as a football player. They saw me as somebody who happened to play football. Mm-hmm. But I would say it was also the recommendations of the doctors that I appreciate most, that people still have that level of ethics, that that's a hard decision to put on a 18, 19 year old to say, hey, you should probably reevaluate some things regardless of the pressures that you're getting from, you know, peers, teammates, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I knew how courageous it was at the time. It just felt like the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. But in hindsight, I wouldn't have changed it.
Would you have been that guy on the field, though?
I mean, yeah, but my school wasn't good enough for that guy to matter.
So we transition over into marketing.
Yeah,
Where you can control that. When you're growing up,
yeah,
are you looking at concepts and you're thinking strategically about them? You're breaking them down strategically. You're noticing branding, colors, fonts, all these things. Is that your mindset growing up, or is this a learned skill that you have?
Not at all. My mindset, the analytical part, for sure. Like I'm math, science, why do things function the way they function? Like what's going on in the world around us? How did things come to be? So Atlanta, like how did we get a city that we got the Olympics in 96, but like what happened to all the homeless people that got displaced? And like why this neighborhood look crazy and these buildings look amazing? So I'm asking those types of questions. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying attention to brands or businesses at all. Mm-hmm. I take my first marketing class and I read a couple books by Seth Godin, who's famous for like Purple Cow, et cetera. Yeah. And I'm going, wait, people are deliberately doing these things that are impacting the choices that we make. So you have a couple more of those conversations and you're like, how far in advance can you create this? Like, why does that color make you feel excited and that color makes you want to rest? And what you mean fonts can do that too? Mm-hmm. So that probably happened around sophomore year of college. And then it was like almost like falling in love. I got bit by the bug and you can't see anything else.
Yeah. Did you go down the trajectory of like doing graphic design and all those things, or did you go straight into behind the scenes level kind of strategy?
No, I didn't go into any of those things. I went right into, so like the traditional marketing track, those are people that will be part of your cross-functional team. Mm-hmm. Your job is to come up with something that makes sense, that's going to work. And then you brief and or communicate to the appropriate departments how what they do impacts this. Mm-hmm. So if we said, hey, we want to launch a clothing brand, we want people to feel this, we want people to say these things. Mm-hmm. Neither of us may be graphic designers, but as we communicate that, somebody starts to see some imagery and we kind of are the gatekeepers that say this matches what we're trying to do or it doesn't.
Yeah. So you've been responsible for some for branding for some pretty big companies, huge companies, right? Manage some strong portfolios.
Yeah.
In these meetings, have you always had locks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So in these meetings, when you're thinking about like the candy brands and the soft drink companies that you've worked for, how do you get, how did you get them to take you seriously in that space?
Oh, you got, these are beautiful. So coming out of college, I was worried, right? Because I started growing my locks my sophomore year of college. Also, my family has locks. Okay. Mom, dad, siblings, I never thought they were for me.
Okay.
And my mom always said, like, if it's time, you'll know. And then somewhere around sophomore year, I'm like, I think it's time, right? So by the time I'm graduating, it's a part of my identity, but I was gifted with this phrase. And she said, never be attached to anything that you can't let it go to progress. Mm-hmm. So my thought was, let me not first eliminate myself. Let's go in. Let's interview well. Let's prep for this stuff. And if two or three things don't go my favor, then maybe that's what the distraction is. Or maybe that's going to be the hindrance that stops me from moving in. Yeah. But I'm not going to self-select out of it yet. Mm-hmm. So went through all the interview process, got a lot of job offers, and was like, okay, this doesn't have to be as big of an issue as I think it is. Mm-hmm. But I was still self-conscious. So even though the corporate space where I worked was business casual, I was still suited and booted, shirt tucked in, hair
felt
pulled
like
back.
You had to overprove yourself?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Were you ever faced with a situation where someone said, hey, look, you probably move along a lot further here if you cleaned up your image?
They don't say it that directly, but they do say things to gauge your interest in your long-term like viability and the likelihood of you staying. So they want to know, like, are you looking for a home? Right? Because it's different than renting. If you're starting to buy, you're planting roots here. Okay, great. We can start to bet on. Hey, if you were going to move into the next role, what brand might be ideal for you?
Okay.
Right? And then you'll start to get the additional questions like, so how long have you been growing your hair? Is it heavy?
Is it heavy?
Right?
Wild.
Does it ever get in the way?
Yeah.
So you start to like, if you're not careful, because I want for the people that's listening to this, there are certain industries where absolutely it's a no-go. And then there are other industries where it's not an issue at all. A lot has happened since I graduated college. So we're talking 15 years or so. Mm-hmm. So the world has kind of gotten used to people. You can see visible tattoos. You can see piercings. But I was right at the cusp of like, you might want to look traditional, clean cut Caesar, shaved face. But we made it through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every time I see you, you're in your uniform. You call it your black hoodie.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Some type of cargo pant or jeans.
Yeah.
And your hood is always on with, what's this called?
A beanie.
A beanie.
Yeah.
This is your uniform.
Yeah.
You don't have a problem even today being booked by corporate offices. Nope. Why?
I'll give it to you in story form. I got invited to speak at Georgia Tech. And when I say I'm so me, I didn't even think about they might have a problem. So at the last moment, I reached out to my point of contact and was like, I'm on the way there. I got ripped jeans, Jordans, hair swinging. And he said, talk to them about how you're able to come into places like this looking like who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a reclaim of power in it. And I don't mean this in an arrogant way. The first thing is I don't have to be here. Right. I've been blessed that I've built a community. I've built a revenue stream of being able to make my own money outside of those traditional confines. And so that gives you a level of sort of freedom in that space.
Sure.
And from there, they want that.
Yeah.
We used to look at organizations as a monolith when it's really a bunch of people comprised of this. Mm-hmm. And so you're actually a breath of fresh air when you walk in and you say, hey, here's where I am. Here's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I am like you, but I'm also different from you.
I love that because even I have walked into rooms.
Yeah.
If I walked into a room with these braids that I have right now, I know it's going to be a conversation starter in certain rooms, right?
Yeah.
But I've walked into rooms feeling like, well, maybe I don't fit into these rooms. I've gone to some super high level masterminds, I'm talking about investing more than $50,000 just to sit in the room. And sometimes you'll hear these business owners talking about these amazing concepts that they're working on and these big things that they're doing. And it's like, oh, I'm a business coach.
Yeah.
I have a podcast.
Yeah.
I'm a content creator.
Yeah.
And you will find yourself almost shrinking in that space.
Yep.
But just like you, when you start talking about what it is that you do, you become the breath of fresh air in the room.
Yeah.
So many people want the luxury of being a podcaster or a content creator or having this hypnotic rhythm is what I call it, where people have this magnetic pull toward you.
Yeah.
And then there are these suit and ties and the pencil skirts who are looking at you, who are looking at me and saying, I wish he is the breath of fresh air because I wish that I could command a room in a space with that level of confidence, walking in looking just like that.
Yeah.
You're really committed to just being who you are.
Yeah. So I'm going to try not to nerd out, but like, I think part of personal branding there's a level of responsibility that we have to ourselves. What I knew is that I knew what it felt like to go to work and make other people wealthy and get paid handsomely. Let's not disrespect that. Great salaries to do so. But I also knew that I didn't want to be in these boxes that you had to be placed in order to navigate those organizations. So as I leave to do my own thing, I'm like, don't build your own prison for yourself. That's it. Right? And I would be remiss if I didn't shout out the people that laid the groundwork. The Eric Thomases that were walking into corporations in Jordans and hats, but you so polished. The word is right. Like you can't say nothing about it. And you know what you brought me in here for.
Yeah.
Right. So the Eric Thomases was probably the beginning of it. Gary V, there's a level of sort of whiteness that's able to move through different spaces and no shade to that. It just is what it is. Right. Yeah. But him showing up in some Dunks and a Jets hat, it changes the way we have these conversations. Yeah. And you can be sitting, you can be in the audience in a tux and you're going to get these cargo and this hoodie and then we're going to put some work in.
You remember meeting me with the pink hair?
Yes. And I remember you not listening.
What?
I so told you that was a strong brand element because it was tasteful, right? Like women, of course, y'all hair is a symbol of all types of things for you. So I don't know what it's like to want to change the look of it. But I was still, if we dated, I was closer to corporate then than entrepreneurship. And the visual, I was like, oh, she can coin this. You can own this. And it was nobody. It was whoever did your hair was amazing. Right. It wasn't just the random things put together.
Crystal Giles of Gresham Giles Salon.
Man, shout out to Crystal. Crystal, tell her, run it back. Run it back, Crystal.
So in all honesty, I did not consciously make the decision to get rid of the pink hair. The pandemic happened. And so when you have ladies, you know, when you have color, like to lift my hair to pink and purple requires a treatment process that needs a lot of TLC. And so now salons are closed and I can't keep up that TLC. The color fades and it becomes like this brassy color.
Gotcha.
So I had to dye. I had to do what I could do at home and dye my hair black. And once you dye your hair black again, you can't just go back.
I got it.
When you feel like it, you got to give that some time and let
that
breathe.
So here's what I'm hearing now, right? Now that we're in a wealthier season of our life.
We're in a wealthier season.
We could just pay for Crystal to just, you know what I mean, come to the house.
Well, now that salons are open again, it's possible. But let me tell you about that season in my life.
Talk to me.
I got my hair dyed, much like you looking at the Eric Thomases and the Gary V's. At the time that I became a business coach in 2012, like kind of figuring out coaching and full time in 2014, there weren't really many black women that I was aware of that looked like me, number one, or had that kind of swag. I'm edgy, my D. I had worked in corporate for more than 15 years. I know the pencil skirt and the pantyhose and the, you know, thank you so much for calling. And I have that voice. I can do that. But I knew deep down inside that I didn't want to build a prison for myself, too, if I was going for this entrepreneurship thing. So there was one woman, one black woman who was giving me just enough. Her name is Valerie Burton.
Dope.
And she wrote this book called Successful Women Speak Differently. And that book shifted so much for me. Right. And I felt that, but I still didn't want to show up. I'm both. I can do both. I love being in the dresses and the pencil skirts, but I also like to be like this and hoodies, whatever. So I come across this woman and I don't want to say her name anymore because she's kind of changed in a way that, you know what I mean? And so I come across this white woman who is in Forbes magazine for being an outstanding business coach, like coach of the year. And this woman's hair is platinum and it's pink and it's purple and it's doing all the things. And I'm thinking, I could never do that. That was my first thought when I looked at it. I said, I could never do that. They wouldn't respect me in these rooms. And I remember looking at it again the next day and saying, why can't I do that? Like, I'm Donnie Wiggins. I do what I want to do. So I scheduled a hair appointment and I was going into getting my normal, like, dusty blonde, dirty blonde hair. And my hairstylist says, can we do something different today? Just out of the blue. I said, sure. She's like, do you have any restrictions? I said, do what you want.
Wow.
And it came. She literally did the same. It was pink, purple with a peekaboo of like a teal. And I looked in the mirror and I'm like, I love it.
Yeah.
I was so scared to leave the salon. I loved it in the salon. I go into this building that I live in, this high-rise building that I lived in at the time, and it's full of successful Caucasian people, successful Black people. And I was really worried about how people would perceive me. As soon as I walked in the door, this white woman stopped and she goes, "Oh my God. Oh my God, you're so brave. You look so amazing." Yeah. She lives in the building.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, guess what?
She got color.
She got the same color.
Wow.
And it was there for me. And it's not that I needed a particular race of people to validate me.
Yep.
I needed to just go through a process where I was breaking out of this environment where I was being told what was acceptable to wear,
yep,
what was professional apparel, yep, what women should do with their hair,
yep,
into being like, you know what my value internally,
yep,
and from an academic standpoint, matters more than the color of my hair. Mm. And from that point, it went crazy.
Mm.
It went crazy.
Mm.
I still dealt with some self-conscious moments.
Yep.
But that started, that paved the way. It was such, yep, a conversation starter.
Yeah.
I'm all about like, make a bold decision.
Yeah.
Make a bold decision and make that work.
Yeah.
I'm sure when you go in these rooms dressed like this, people are like asking you questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so like, I was listening, right? And again, as a man, I don't think we always think about the pressures that are put on women to, mm-hmm, fit into certain things. Like, we're, mm-hmm, granted a certain level of individuality and kind of like, you kind of like attaboy if you out here just figuring stuff out,
yeah,
where there's a lot of forced conformity. So, mm-hmm, I think, one, thank you for sharing it like real like that. Fully transparent.
Transparent.
Mm. I think there's another part of it for the people that's listening. Let me do my due diligence. There's a level of polish that also balance that thing out.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm able to be confident because I got some of these things behind me.
Mm-hmm.
I got the degree. Mm-hmm. I got the professional accomplishments. I got the entrepreneurial accomplishments. So I don't think about it as bold. I'm just on whatever the mission is for the day.
Okay.
And I just so happen to show up how I show up. But to the outside world, it's extremely bold. You know what I mean? But I heard a deeper part where I'm like, you and your stylist were so intertwined that telepathic thought,
yeah,
right? And then your ability to trust her to do that,
mm-hmm,
I think that was powerful. So, mm-hmm, if you ever just do a temporary revisit, I won't be mad at it.
Yeah, I miss the color.
Yeah,
honestly, just where I am today, I am more into the health of my hair.
Mm.
Like, it's having pink, yeah, hair is not a healthy process by any stretch of the imagination. But we'll see. We'll see how it pops up.
All right, for sure.
I want to get back into this journey of yours though, because you leave corporate America. You're, yeah, making six figures in corporate America.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming from the environment that we grew up in,
yeah,
it's crazy to walk away from that.
Yeah.
How dare you like fumble that opportunity?
Yeah.
What made you say, nah?
So it's same thing. Like, you got these, in some respects, I had created an illusion of what I thought it looked like to be successful,
mm,
based on the stories that we heard.
Mm-hmm.
And this, to anybody that's not of our era or before, this probably sounds crazy because we were before social media.
Yeah.
Social media is not crazy. You just fancy yourself to be whoever you want to and,
right,
do it. But we coming out of the industrial age where like 9 to 5 and you work shifts and there's plants. And so you like you get your behind inside the lines. You know what I mean? I don't lost a question, Donnie, as far as leaving corporate.
Leaving corporate. Like,
so, yeah. Oh, sounding crazy. Leaving the six figures piece.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here is the cool part. The people in my trusted circle rock with me more than the status. So anybody that I would talk to and I'm having this conversation, mm-hmm. they trust me to do what's right at a big picture level. Mm-hmm. So it's like, even if you're leaving, you probably going to go figure something out and do what's right, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But was it hard? Yes. Let me tell you what made it easier, though. It was the year before. And I call my mom and I'm looking at my tax document of all the money I made. But that day I had $200 in the bank. Mm. And I went, I've been afraid to let go of $200. I get what's passed through and my loft is amazing and I got all the wines. But like today, if anybody tapped my pockets, I had $200. And I said on the phone, I can borrow $200.
Right.
Right. Like, what are you afraid of?
Yeah,
I knew that corporate, that period was expiring because I didn't have any more. I had professional like ethics and integrity, but personally I was wearing the same clothes every day. Like not like that. I had five, Banana Republic sweaters on rotation, like navy, gray, cranberry maroon.
For sure.
Right. And I wasn't me. Mm-hmm. And what it was going to take to get to the next level, I wasn't capable of being that person again. The code switching, the managing of people, the pretending that I'm here to enforce the corporate sort of this. And I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm driving to work. I'm listening to an audio book about freeing yourself. And then I go and shackle up. Right. Mm-hmm. I got to say this because it's not social media is. If you are at your job and you love your job. Yeah. We are not telling you to jump off a bridge to become an entrepreneur. That ain't what this story is. Mm-mm. But if you're one of those people where you staring at the clock, you looking out the window, something pulling you and it's not a motivational speech. You've been hearing this voice telling you you're supposed to be doing something different. Mm-hmm. This is the conversation of tapping into that. Mm-hmm. So it was easier to leave because I had seen what it take to build something. But this is what I didn't know. Mm. I was at companies that were 100 years old. And a 100-year-old company is not the same as a startup. Okay, the structure, the strategy, the conversations, the resources. I was not prepared to succeed as an entrepreneur with that background.
Yeah.
I'm prepared to scale, but to start, absolutely not. Because it requires a different level of confidence and a different level of rigor and a different level of emotional regularity to go through like, $1,200 today, $0 tomorrow. How do you stomach that, right? One day you see yourself as your work. I knew I was that. Yeah. So then the next day, if it doesn't monetize or produce, your emotions and your confidence sways with it. Mm-hmm. These corporations are stable, right? We look at things quarterly, annually, right? How are we doing?
Next 5 years.
Entrepreneurship, sometimes it's day-to-day, moment-to-moment, right? For sure. And so I didn't have the skills. I had the brain, but I did not have the core skills to start from zero and navigate that space.
Yeah. I work with a lot of high-level entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And we're all startups, right? Yeah. We're still all startups.
Yeah.
And I'll ask a question like, just for reference, what brands do you admire who have paved the way, you know, that you would love to model yourself after? And they'll name all of the larger, you know, corporations. And 30, 60 days into the process, when they aren't scaling at that level and hadn't figured it out, it's like, when am I going to get my big break? I'm like, do you mean the big break identical to a company that's been here for 150 years, 100 years, 75 years? It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Like every single piece of revenue that we bring in right now, we have to redistribute and put that back into the business.
Absolutely.
You don't get to take that home and celebrate it. These people have stockholders and investors and all kinds of things that we don't have access to. Our money doesn't work the same way.
Correct.
And a lot of those companies that are producing that way, the original founder isn't here to see the magnitude of the influence that they had today.
Absolutely.
This might be beyond you.
Absolutely.
Right? So your startup, you know, skincare line might not be doing what Mac, or not even a Mac, a CoverGirl or any of those companies are doing. Your food and beverage might not be doing what Procter and Gamble and all these companies are doing. You have to build, and that's the process. And Madi, I think that's like one of the hardest parts for an entrepreneur, even yourself, your start into entrepreneurship. I believe your first company was Been Broke Before.
Yeah.
And that was a t-shirt line.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So shout out to Deshaun, who pulled us together to start Been Broke Before. We had a this is a good Atlanta story right here. Do you remember Strip at Atlantic Station?
Of course.
So we have a meeting at Strip.
That's where all the meetings had to take place.
All right. So full transparency and full circle. Strip was the very first place I sat down with somebody when I thought I wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Okay.
Me and my homeboy Rents, we call it Humble Summer. It was 2007. Mm-hmm. David Ratcher, I got to say the names. He was the only entrepreneur that we knew. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to start an LLC. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll walk y'all through the process. Meet me at Strip. And we show up. And anybody know, David fancy. Okay. David eating sushi, drinking wine.
For sure.
We so broke that we can't together order anything. We're just here to learn. And so he's like, y'all want anything? And we're thinking like, not if we got to end up paying the bill, right? So we don't want nothing. And he sat down and he walked us through the process of how to start an LLC. Mm-hmm. Since that day, I've never charged a person if they've needed help doing that. He paid it for it to me. I've been paying it for it. I've never charged a person. Here's how you go through the process. Mm-hmm. So now this is probably, I don't know, 18 years into the future. And I'm back at Strip meeting with my homeboy who became my business partner on the purpose of the meeting was, what are the things that you need to do that requires a team? You cannot do them alone. Mm-hmm. He had a list. I had a list. And Been Broke Before was this concept that started as a clothing brand, but would grow into much larger of a concept. Mm-hmm. And it was around, what are the stories of the people who came from nothing, who made themselves into something?
Yeah.
And so we started talking about every shirt tells a story. And how do we go in and have that conversation? Donnie, you ever been broke before? And you're like, yeah, which time you want to hear about?
Right.
And that kicks it off. So we didn't make it to fulfilling that larger sort of media conglomerate umbrella side of it. But the clothing brand side was crazy because this is my first time. Anything I did entrepreneurial before this, it didn't get off the ground. Mm-hmm. Right. But this is like printing money. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling him, I'm about to jump. And we made $20,000 2 months in a row. And I was like, oh, I know what it takes to like, the demand is there. People calling my cell phone. I felt like a trap boy. Like, hey, I got somebody at CVS, they want two hoodies, right?
Got you.
So again, for the entrepreneurs that are just starting, that's on the grind, that's figuring that part out, that's part of the story too. We made our first $50,000 out of the trunk. Mm. We didn't even have the U-line bags. Mm-hmm. We were pulling up, giving people hoodies. They were nicely folded, but we had a hoodie, right? And it was—
Be careful with that.
Yeah. It was beautiful because this is my first time talking to the people directly.
Okay.
We did market research in corporate where I sit behind a glass wall, and we listen to people's conversation, mm-hmm. right? So you as a parent, we listen to I used to run a car seats business for Graco. Mm-hmm. What are your frustrations and what are your needs? And you're like, well, I got to get my baby out and it's too heavy and I need something that's lighter and I need to have something in my mom's car. Like, but you don't talk to the people. Mm-hmm. I'm out here hand to hand talking to people, hearing the stories. And I'm like, we got something.
Yeah.
Now, tragically, one of our business partners was killed before things could really blow. Mm-hmm. And I say this part, it's important when you sit down and you write these plans, you got to add a human factor to it. Ugh. And that's tough because we would come back to sit at the meetings and there was a chair empty.
Yeah.
It's hard to sell a t-shirt. It's hard to get excited when the person that used to pray to start the meeting ain't there.
I know that was a really rough time
for
you. You went through a public depression for a long time.
Yeah. I didn't know that's what it was. I just kept saying, I don't feel like myself. Mm-hmm. Because you also dream together. So now you don't want the dream if the person that you dreamed it with isn't there to help. Mm. You see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a collective picture.
Yeah.
And so now part is missing. You know what I mean? And this is also, I'm fresh. We started 2015. I left my job May 1st of 2016. Mm-hmm. I'm super corporate. Mm-hmm. Me now, I can stomach it, right? I know what to do. A little razzle dazzle. We start a scholarship fund. Make sure your mama's straight.
Right.
But back then, I didn't have those skills. I didn't have those words. I didn't have that appreciation for starting from the ground up. I just didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did that brand completely dissolve? I still see people.
Yeah, it's still
like
around.
In the gym with their Been Broke Before t-shirts on, but. Yeah. in terms of being in the marketplace today, is that a completely dissolved brand?
Yeah, we don't still sell anything. We have probably once a quarter, we had that conversation like, right? Was it a window in time and we did what was best for it? Or is it something bigger than us? And this is just another part of the story of like, seriously, you had to go through all of this for it to be what it's going to blossom into. So I don't know that it's forever gone.
Or are you having survivor's guilt?
All of that.
Yeah.
All of it. Is it still therapy, right? Is it still some form of, you know what I mean? I know that the stories still haven't been told. So that we're trying to do them via podcast or conversation, but like not at scale. Nobody's telling these stories. You can find it in somebody's autobiography. You can, but like there ain't a platform to see somebody that looks like you navigate something that you navigate and give you a play by play framework as to how to get out of it.
Yeah.
And merch just happens to be the conversation starter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that part of me that like the human service, the money stuff, we figured all that out. But the human service part of, I grew up, we were in Barnesville City Projects. We moved to Griffin. When I first moved to, so East Point and College Park is just south of Atlanta for people like geographically. When we first moved there, we moved into some apartments. I thought we were rich, Dunny. They had a gate.
Yes.
They had full court basketball. We had two pools. And then my mom moved us across the street. There was a house that was for sale. And she reached out, didn't know if she would qualify. She's fresh out of a divorce and found out that the mortgage was like $50 cheaper than our rent in the apartments. But we moved in. We got no furniture. We just got a house.
Yeah.
And we just told this story not long ago. My mom, my two brothers, and my sister, we would sleep in the hallway and curtain off. We had one air conditioner unit. And that was the only way you could stay cool at night. We would curtain off the hallway, close all the rest of the doors, make pallets on the floor, and sleep. But somebody need to know that out of that story, at five, I'm living in the projects. At 22, the mayor appointed me to a five-year term as a board of commissioner for the housing authority, which is the projects. 17 years, you went from living here to overseeing it.
Yeah.
Somebody got to know that story.
Yeah.
Not for our own, like, ego, but for like what's possible. You know what I mean? We joke, but like we from the same side of town.
Yeah.
And you've navigated the whole world, built this entire thing up. And there's so many young women going to school today not knowing that that's possible.
Do you believe that myself and people like me, and even yourself included, that we're not doing a good enough job?
It's not that we're not doing a good enough job. We're fragmented. A lot of this entrepreneurial journey is lonely and is individualized because you try to do things collectively, but it's hard. And so as a result, you find that trusted circle of folks that you know you can work with. But the conversations and the messages aren't distributed at scale. So let's talk about this, for example.
Okay.
We know how to make the content.
Okay.
We don't always know how to distribute and promote it effectively.
Okay.
So posting to social is only part of it, but we then take our hands off it and say, may the algorithm gods forever be in our favor.
This is a fact.
But like, should this be packaged up? I know you've done some things on audio. Should this be packaged up in audio? Should this be bottled up into curriculum and you go talk to the ninth grade girls at South Fulton? But you can't do all this. So somebody who's a curriculum specialist got to come in and say, I'll take that part.
Hold on real quick.
Marty, yeah.
You said opening. You said, should this be packaged into curriculum?
Yeah.
But I need a team for that. Okay.
So what does that look like to package it up into curriculum? Right. What does it look like to make sure that we're on all of the media channels? So you may need an expert level on each social media channel that they know YouTube and Instagram and TikTok at a mastery level to make sure that these messages are distributed at scale.
Okay.
Right.
So what would you tell an entrepreneur who that requires? So we talked about the large corporation versus the small business startup, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And one of the unique factors of a large corporation is that they actually deploy hundreds of thousands of dollars of resources into strategic analysts, people whose job it is just to study the marketplace and where we can go next. Like that could be a $200,000 salary position right there.
Yeah.
Well, we might not be at a place yet where we can pay somebody $200,000 just to study where we should be going next.
Yeah.
So then what?
Very fair, right? I think there's a couple things that we can look at. So anytime I'm looking at building something, I use three P's. You can either partner, you can profit share, or you can pay.
Okay.
Right? Part of our desire to own everything makes us want to pay, but the economics of it makes us want to pay less than what market rate is. Yes. So we end up in this seesaw of like, right? Mm-hmm. I think those of us that have climbed above survival, we have to come together in some capacity, right? Like imagine, and this ain't a pitch, but imagine if I ran your Instagram with my level of mastery of Instagram, if you could just put that thing to rest, right? So there's a level of like, you still got your business. I still got my business. But sometimes we got to say for the greater good of this, six, seven, 12 of us plus our teams of two or three got to work on an initiative. And let's figure the economics out of that. Let's figure it out, right? Let's get a governing body. Some of the little cat fighting and nitpick, we can put all that aside. Yeah. But what if you only had to bring up one portion of your skill? Your ability to extract beautiful information out of people and have a conversation, that's your role. You don't have to worry about prep. You don't have to worry about if the lights work, if the mics work. So those of us that are sitting in the masterminds, in addition to how do we just keep growing individually, we got to say, like, collectively, is there something we should be doing bigger? Let me give you one example. Okay. PayPal, for example. They say PayPal Mafia, because if you look at the PayPal round table of people that came together to start and run the company, they left and started Tesla and YouTube and a portion of LinkedIn and SpaceX and 7-10 other multi-billion dollar companies. So you take 12 CEOs and you say, well, you put your CEO title to the side and be the VP of marketing for this mission for 36 months, for 5 years. But in survival mode, you can't see that far.
Yo, you said something so profound and it caught, it hit, it stuck. And I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, adding my own little flavor. I believe right now, so many of us are focused on building businesses and not enough of us are focused on building an initiative. And there's a difference. When you're building the business, you are concerned about the whole, how everything works, every little intricate detail. And because you're stretching yourself so thin in all these different areas that are all important, you're not performing at the highest level that you could be. But if we got into this space where we're just focused on our zone of genius, if we just all go in on this initiative, we could probably multiply our results in a much more collapsed time frame. Yeah, that's insane. Now, let's talk about, you mentioned loosely, and it wasn't a pitch. You mentioned, what if you took over my Instagram with your level of genius? What if? What does that look like?
now it's a whole proposal. But not like the difference would be it won't take me long, right? So in a 90-minute conversation, we can build a 30 or 45-day plan. It just takes compliance and trust. And shout out to my boy David, who I dapped up on the way in. David said being coachable requires a high level of trust and a low level of agreement. I don't need you to agree with me. I'm better at you. I'm better than at this thing than you are.
Yeah.
Which is why we at the table together. We're not here to have a pissing contest. You better at this. I'm better at this. We swapping skills or whatever. So it would look like having a conversation, understanding key goals and strategy, more so aligning what you're already doing to what I know already works. And then when you do like what we're doing, which is called production, we go into production knowing that how this thing will be distributed and used on the back end. So it may require to reorient some questions so that the answer is packaged up for social media. It may require some minor tweaks to get some major results. But the biggest part is to not see ourselves as our social media. This is a marketing and media distribution channel, and it requires a certain strategy. Mostly is, there's the planning of it, there's a production, there's a post, and then there's the management of it. Reading, responding, and routing is where most of us need the most social media help. Who's reading it, responding, and routing to the appropriate person? You know what I mean? Somebody's in our, and I'm, this self-included, right? Somebody's in my comment section. They want to give you tens of thousands of dollars, but nobody read and responded or routed their question to the right person because it still take a team. You know what I mean? So we can talk more offline and we can
figure that out. Is this a service like in real time that you offer?
You can't pay me.
Okay, because here's the my D.
We got a, now you can, I will sign up for the table since I started it. that initiative of bringing the folks together, for sure. But can't nobody pay me right now to run their Instagram. That's crazy.
Here's the thing. And you said something to this point a little earlier, yeah, like it's never really about the money for me. Yeah. Right. But it has to sometimes be a little bit about the money. What do you do for money? Hey, hey, entrepreneur, are you looking for mentorship? Do you ever watch me here on the Social Proof Podcast or on Full Transparency and say, you know what? One day I want to work with Donnie. Great news. You absolutely can. Join me inside my community, Actionable CEO, where we help to develop new habits, grow you personally, professionally, and financially, help you take massive action in your business, ultimately helping you make more money. It's just $97 a month. We meet every single week. We have a book club. We do live co-working sessions. When I'm in your city, you guys get to connect with me in person and so much more. Don't take my word for it. Go over to actionableceo.com. Check out the page and see if it's a good fit for you. If so, I'll see you on the inside.
It's the when I say the economics, okay, when I'm saying it ain't just about the money, there's a lot of ways to make money.
Okay.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
The primary thing that I do is take all of this information we're saying and distill it down so that the person who is less than $500,000 in revenue can hear it and actionably do something with it, mm-hmm, right? So most of my stuff focuses around Instagram, right? Social media, but Instagram in particular. Mm-hmm. How do I learn how to communicate my story and put this into what we call content, right? Mm-hmm. The next thing that I'm working on, which is my baby I'm most proud of, I was giving David a test drive. I've now been able to use my entire messaging system using AI, put my entire system in, change out for your personality and get close to equal results. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to always teach people the history and the theory and the why. Mm-hmm. My homeboy Marcus is like, adult learners don't have the capacity for that. They need to be able to take some actionable steps and get some immediate results that then buys you more trust to give them more of the education. So I was teaching backwards. I was teaching like, you're just inquisitive and you want to learn. Mm-hmm. So now I'm teaching you, no, do this, get this.
Procedural.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Versus theory. Because I thought you had a system to plug it into. Yeah. If I say, hey, Donna, you need to post 3 reels a day and they need to be about these 3 topics, that assumes that you're confident enough to be on camera. Mm-hmm. That assumes that you have appropriate lighting and you understand how to find trending audio and you understand, right? It assumes you have an editing process. But if you don't have those things, somebody got to walk you through those things.
And then that becomes overwhelming.
Correct.
Yeah.
And now when you didn't do yesterday's, it compiles with today's and you give up. Mm-hmm. Not on purpose, but it's like it's overwhelming. It's overbearing. Mm-hmm. And so now we've simplified that.
Do you aspire to build an 8-9-figure business?
8 more than 9. Is it doable? For sure. And my business partner who's off camera, we've been talking about like overall quality of life versus the grind. I don't know if it's just getting older. I don't know if it's getting wiser, but I don't aspire to run the organization that has that much overhead and moving parts and pieces. I'm more of a hired gun, right? I would do high level consulting at that level. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm cool in the 7 to 8 range, mm-hmm, just consistently landing there without the stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I often hear you talk about and put a lot of emphasis on you couldn't pay me for this or how these things, the money at the end of the day doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think it's twofold. Yeah. One, I think it's beautiful because there is this element that's missing from entrepreneurship and just the way that we live. And I don't know if it's because I'm primarily in an entrepreneurial circle, but it feels like we've just created another rat race. Like everybody's still racing for something and it's always about the goal and always about, you know, how much money did you make at the end of this? Yeah. But you never speak that way. So then there's the other side where it's like, oh, well, my idea is just kind of coasting and it's not really about making the money and all those things. And I want people to be clear on, your part of that message.
So let's talk about that. So a couple of different things. Remind me to come back to the "you can't pay me." And then let's talk about my approach to how I make money.
But be clear that he said I can't pay him. Just
No. Let me come back to it, right? There's a difference in marketing versus sales. Okay, I'm trained in marketing. Mm-hmm. Marketing means I am so humble that I will research, anticipate your needs, create the thing that you need or don't know you need, put the messaging in front of you so you can make a buying decision without sales having to be there in the mix. Mm-hmm. Most people, those who make the most money are salespeople, right? I'm not a salesperson. So could I be making more money? Yes. Either okay. A, I would have to sell more or hire people to sell. But sales has a downstream consequence that nobody talks about, which is what happens when you sell things to people who are not the right fit. They were just persuaded at the moment. Mm-hmm. And right now in our culture, we tend to rationalize what that looks like. So we're like, they didn't do the work. Well, sometimes that's true, but sometimes it's not a good fit, right? We've all had some level of buyer's remorse from dealing with a charismatic salesperson. Mm-hmm. And I myself, I don't sleep well at night when that's not a good fit.
Yeah.
So I like a better fit between marketing and sales. Mm-hmm. So no shade to the salesperson. I'm just not that, right? So it doesn't feel as aggressive, right? I tend to pulse. I'm in launch mode. I'm not in launch mode. I make my money, I do my thing. You know what I'm saying? Now, the "you can't pay me" part, what I mean, the undertone there is it's more so working with people when we don't understand that difference between trust and agreement. So I'm not going to argue with you that marketing works. I'm not going to argue with you about a concept you don't understand. I'm here to do a goal. I'm here to hit a goal. If you say, let's use real numbers, Where's your followers at for full transparency?
So the platform is split on two different networks.
Love
there's
it.
A 500,000 on one, and we just launched another one. So there's about 14,000 on the
other.
I
love it, right? So let's put that in context. We ain't gonna get into the 500,000. The 14,000, you see what's possible. It's real big, but the other part, that you're already in the top 10%, right? Mm-hmm. But if you say I want to get from 14,000 to 100,000 without burdening myself with the labor, that's the goal. I'm here to make sure that goal gets hit, and we're going to create a scope of work, this, that, and the third. It's tough working with folks because all of our energy and our human stuff get in the way. So when I say you can't pay me to pull me out of my current business with my current piece to come tussle with y'all about something you may or may not understand. Mm-hmm. And that ain't to you personally, right? But like when you're working with clients, that's a tougher part. Mm-hmm. Now, can I build a structure of the agency and put an account manager in place and make sure your social media stuff gets handled? You can pay me for that. Mm-hmm. But like most folks don't want that. When you call Johnson & Johnson, you want to talk to Mr. Johnson or Mrs. Johnson. You don't want to talk to Claudette, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of that dynamic, which is tough when we are building brands where we're front facing. Mm-hmm. People feel slighted if they don't get us. Mm. But the reality is you may have coached your team to deliver the same results that Donnie can deliver. But it's tough on the person who thought they were working with Donnie directly.
Yeah, messaging
for sure
is everything.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So now you found a hobby recently.
Yeah, for sure.
And you spend a lot of your free time taking pictures of birds.
Yeah, for sure.
How did you even discover that this was both a talent and a potential hobby?
Can I rephrase something?
For sure.
It's a skill. Talent different.
It's a skill.
Yeah.
Talent is different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Skill has a different level of deliberate focus to it.
Mm-hmm.
Talent sometimes is raw, similar to a gift, right?
Okay.
So I say that for the people that have put the work in. I want them to get their just due respect. I still struggle to call myself a photographer.
Okay.
I'm skilled at a form of photography.
Okay.
But the hobby found me. Same thing. I'm going through this grief circle of losing somebody close to me. And because our businesses primarily work through Wi-Fi, I ain't got to go nowhere. Right. In addition to being, I'm so deep in my introvert space that you like, Marty, I ain't seen you in 2 years. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm ordering Uber Eats, getting on my laptop and working. But it got to a point where I would order food and it's still at the door. Because I ain't made it downstairs all day. And I don't know that this is depression. So I'm talking to my mentor and he's like, grief counseling is one thing and you need to go through that process, work yourself through the grief curve, get back to feeling like yourself. But you also need something that you can look forward to every day, and growing followers and making money ain't a big enough pull for you. Like that's a practice. That's a discipline. You need something else. And so I remember talking to a buddy and I'm like, man, I think I'm going to try some photography stuff out. And he's like, if you find what you enjoy taking pictures of, you won't be able to put the camera down. Right. But me with a plan, type A, I'm like, I'm going to do black and white vintage, document the rustic side of Georgia. I want to show people the texture of. And I'm driving around. I'm doing hooligan stuff. I jumped a gate at a closed down building that had an old Coke machine, vintage.
Yes.
And I take this picture and I'm like, I feel stupid. That's what I feel. This is the dumbest thing I could have ever done. Get my big behind back over this gate. Right. And so I think one day I stopped at like Chick-fil-A or something and I was near a park. I backed in. I'm going to eat my food. I'm in between two meetings. I don't have time to go back home. And I see a bird. Now, keep in mind, I'm 35 years old at the time, Donnie. Mm-hmm. Only birds I knew was a cardinal. We called that a red bird. A crow. A blue jay, right? I thought hawks were falcons. I got three birds in my entire dictionary. And I'm like, I wonder if I can take a picture of it. So I get out, and you quickly realize you are in full submission. Because birds, they aren't. Like humans got to stay on the ground. Birds do whatever they want to do.
Yes.
So before I realize it, I'm doing stuff that the normal me and my conscious mind would never do. I'm in the mud. I'm crossing a creek. I'm chasing a damn bird, part of my language, right? And I get this picture, and there's a level of like, huh.
I got it,
but what is this? What do I have?
Yeah.
Right? And I sent it to my homeboy, and he's like, that's an Eastern Phoebe. Sorry. I'm like, a what? Because I know cardinal, crow, and blue jay. So I do research on this bird, and I'm like, dang, this kind of, before I know it, I'm losing track of time, and I'm looking forward to doing this again tomorrow. And I go out again, and I'm repeating this process to finally, now let's go back to the type A. I'm like, there got to be an easier way to do this. So I call another friend, and I'm like, bro, I've been taking pictures of birds. And he's like, well, what lens are you using? I'm like, I got a long lens. It's a 70 to 200 for the photographers in the room. This is like an event lens. If you are at a wedding and you're standing at the back and you want to get that intimate shot without disturbing bride and groom, this ain't for birds.
Okay.
He's like, you need 500 millimeters. Okay. I got 200. I got to buy a lens, $3,000. But mm-hmm. they said money back, 30-day guarantee, don't matter if you use it. I say, I'm going out for 30 days. I'm going to get all 3,000.
Like, that's right. I'm taking it back.
This is June 2022.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop. But it birthed something else. This is the first time in my life, and I need people to hear this. I thought hobbies and anybody who participated in them were stupid and crazy. Why would you take your free time and not use it to make money? So this is coming back to those same limiting beliefs from coming from the struggle and survival mode. You need extra money in case something changes.
Yeah.
So why would you go do something fun? And then this costs money.
Yes.
You got to pay to participate and you don't make money. Y'all are delusional. And here I am, DeLulu, chasing birds in the mud, crawling in the ground, right? Like the whole nine.
Really? And you're in there crawling on the ground, getting muddied up, rain boots on.
It's not a game. You should come out there with me one day.
I will.
It's therapeutic. But the beauty part that was birthed out of this, though, Donnie, is it actually led to more focus and fulfillment in work because I've got something to do. I got an allotted amount of time, and I got to get back to it. So now that high that you would normally get from making money or that you would normally get from meeting a new lady, damn, I'm getting it from chasing birds. Different type.
About meeting the lady.
Let me give one last piece of this.
He's gonna avoid
Here's a blessing in disguise. You end up meeting so many wonderful people. I thought this was my escape, right? So I'm like Marty, the social media person. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on the phone with my friends while I'm birding. Somebody's like, "Are you Atlanta Birdman? I follow you. Oh my god!" But I've been birding with the guy who's the former lieutenant governor.
Birding?
Yes.
Okay, there's an actual term for it. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So birding. There's a range, right? Let's be clear, and this is full nerd alert. If you're just participating in the process, it doesn't matter. You can be at home looking at birds flying back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. They move from bird watching to birding to be more inclusive because there are people who bird by sound.
Oh, I see.
And so it opens up for all types of abilities.
Okay.
And now you build a life list. So how many birds have you seen? How many have you photographed? And it's a whole
thing.
Are
you documenting this?
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, we got, but they got, babe, we in 2024. There's apps for this.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. Now, are you, this is your hobby.
Yeah.
This brings you peace.
For sure.
Right? Happiness.
Absolutely.
Joy.
Yeah.
Will you ever monetize this?
Yes.
Okay. Have you already?
Not directly.
Okay.
Yeah. So I will monetize it primarily of, I don't know that I have to sell the bird pictures or the videos, but everything else around it is archaic. So binocular companies don't do good at marketing. Mm. So what does it look like to move from influencer to strategic partner and consulting for a binocular company? I'm game for that.
Okay.
Right? I'm still going, my 2 hours in the morning, I'm going birding, but I'm using the binoculars. Let's make some content anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So the things that are adjacent to it, yes, tourism. People want to bring you in. Let's go do both. Like, let's go speak in Bahamas. We were talking off camera. Let's go speak in Bahamas and also photograph whatever the top 10 rarest birds there for their website for tourism, for ecotourism. Right, let's do a little bit of both.
You're thinking outside the box, my D.
I'm living it. I'm just here.
I love it because when I said monetize it, I immediately went to canvas prints or some type of.
I ain't got time for coasters and calendars and no. Let's move into a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And then let's do commission work. So you may love bald eagles. For me, monetizing it, this is now an extension of it. So like, let's commission you a photograph, the video and the story that got us there too.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got wall art. So imagine if you've got a beautiful glass piece of this bald eagle. Under the back, you swivel out a QR code, you scan it, it starts flying, and I tell the story of your love for bald eagles and why I took on this challenge. And now over dinner, you're able to talk about how this art comes to life. Mm. So yeah, monetizing that level.
I love the way your brain works.
I appreciate it.
No, I really do. You are a person that when I sit in front of you, or when anybody for that matter sits in front of you, you have to level up a little bit. Like you have to be ready for a beneath the surface level conversation. Mm. That's 100% of the time.
I appreciate that.
Like, you can't just ask my D how he's doing. It's never just going to be like, I'm good. There's always going to be a layer underneath the layer underneath the layer.
Wow.
And just what you, I can see that concept come to life.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for you to sell your first commission piece.
It's going
to
be dope.
That has the QR code that allows the bird to come to life.
Yeah.
That is outstanding.
I appreciate it.
We have to move into a different territory now, though.
Mm.
I want to know how this type A mindset
that
is always thinking about the deeper layers, so planned, so strategic, so organized, how does that work for you in dating?
I struggle. But I was struggling before entrepreneurship and everything. I struggle in the sense of I just like customizing things. So oftentimes relationships come with titles and they come with a belief that we are supposed to participate in something a certain way. Right. So if you say you're a boyfriend, that means something to you. You say you're a husband. If we can agree on the terms and the definition, let's do it. But I can't participate blindly. You know what I mean? So I struggle because I don't think. I have to date women who are a bit more mature, who've been through some things and know what they really like, what they enjoy, et cetera. Because we got to be able to customize this. Like, I can't fit into a template of your boyfriend. You know what I mean?
I need you to unpack that a little
bit. So let's do it. Like, let's take social media culture and how it's impacted dating.
Okay.
Social media got people thinking that, I'm supposed to immediately leave this podcast and take you to Phipps and splurge and show all these gifts and trinkets because XYZ, or we supposed to take a trip and go do, what are y'all talking about? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We doing well, but the average person, what are we talking about? Mm-hmm. And so in the nicest way possible, I think people are slightly disoriented around what should be part of the process. I'm into the person, the spirit, the character, the integrity. We can do the trinkets, but not without that part. But the oftentimes leading through the trinkets don't get you to that part.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really more concerned with how your mama doing, cause we older and our mamas is older now. And do we have some things set up to make sure they good? If we don't, why are we buying Gucci bags?
That's good.
You know what I'm saying? Sincerely.
That's good.
Not that we can't have gifts and do nice things. So I think the brain, the science part of my brain is how we're dating ain't working. Over 50% of marriages end in divorce. Mm-hmm. Right now, let's just talk for black folks, 27% of people in our cohort, women, can expect to get married. So our agreed upon way of doing things ain't working. So if our first thing isn't to say like, hey, what you need, right? What do I need? What you offer? Is this first core part of match, at least 50%? Because you need some shit I'm not capable of giving. Like, let's just pass by each other. Let's have a nice dinner. Let's be cordial. But like, I don't want to pull you into something that you're not. So when I start dating, or when the women I've dated in recent years, it's been a little bit of a struggle. One, we had a great harmony. We just had distance in the way. And so some days you got to be, you can't plan every trip. You got to be able to pull up, go to lunch, come for see sure. somebody, right? Make sure, like, check on their heart, and not just anybody can make it look pretty once a week, once every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But we'll figure it out.
Did y'all ever discuss relocation?
Yeah, we did.
It wasn't time for that, though.
Well, I don't want to be partially transparent. So, I don't necessarily feel comfortable diving into the details of that. You got to keep a little bit, you know what I mean? And keep a little bit for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Are you dating right now?
Dating mean what? You trying to take me out? Are you dating?
Am I dating?
Yeah.
So I love how you shifted the conversation.
Well, you told me.
I did tell
that
you.
That we could have a conversation.
We can have a conversation. But this one specifically, you like zeroed down on.
Yeah.
Am I dating? What does that mean?
I think that the lowest level means just going out on dates with people that you think you got some potential beyond the date, right? There's mm-hmm. some level of interest and focus there.
Sometimes.
Because you be dropping stuff on social media. We can't tell if y'all just thirst trapping or clickbaiting.
I don't drop any dating stuff on social media.
Cool. I stand corrected.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm a master researcher. So maybe
I don't drop any dating stuff on social media. I'm so private.
I respect it.
In a dating capacity.
Maybe it was a campaign.
What are you talking about, my D?
Maybe she's born with it.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
So look, that's called a slogan, right? You see the call and response part there. Some of the history of marketing has been lost because social media is so fast that you don't have to think and be strategic.
Yeah.
When the last time you actively engaged with Maybelline versus it playing in the recesses of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So dating, cool. We can talk about that. But I'm a better service to your listeners talking about this.
Yeah.
What would it look like to spend enough time to come up with a phrase that's call and response that you can walk in any room, any stage, at any level, and people be able to connect with it?
Mm-hmm. How do you find that, though?
How do you find it?
How do you develop it? How do you create it?
A lot more conversation with the people than you think. And then you go through a process of reducing as opposed to stacking more on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's this concept around, can you communicate the entire phrase of something in 6 words? So instead of like when you're about to launch a class or a course or this or that, instead of saying this course is designed, right? So I'm on the spot. But let's just say if it was give me one of the things that you teach your clients or you work with your clients on.
Creating a customer journey.
Creating a customer journey, mm-hmm. right? So instead of saying, in this next 7 modules, we will go through the step-by-step, like how do we reduce that some more and mm-hmm. reduce it some more to where they fully get that over the next 4 weeks, 6 weeks or whatever, we're going to go through the process of creating messages, reducing friction, enabling sales, mm-hmm. right? That may not be sexy enough that you use it as a slogan,
sure.
but like, can we get it down to what it focuses on mm-hmm. so that we're not just lost in all of this sea of stuff, but you got to be willing to like put this part of the work in. We mean the old corporate people, they still in corporate. So a lot of this stuff is locked in colleges and a lot of this stuff is locked in institutional memory that you get from going through the training and development at these Fortune 100 companies.
Mm-hmm.
So entrepreneurs learn from entrepreneurs who learn from entrepreneurs and they just all bump it into each other.
Yeah.
But those of us, you said influential, those of us that have climbed out of this, part of our service is to now take these extremely emotional and laborious things and simplify it for our folks. Like yeah. think about what you know now about entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. that 5 years or 7 years, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I lost $50,000 earlier this year, right? Just in something that didn't work out. I talked to a friend and she said, Marty, you should be making that a day. Why are you still spending a month talking about it? Spend a day. if you were making $50,000 a day, you wouldn't spend more than a day complaining about it, because tomorrow must go on and you got $50,000 to make again. Mm-hmm. But if you're making $50,000 a month, you'll spend a month thinking about it, because mm-hmm. you see it as a month's worth of revenue yeah. versus a day. Mm-hmm. As we climb out, we got to teach and coach and work at that level too. And part of it is with each other, and part of it is reaching back to the people that are coming next.
Yeah. Do you find in your, I
that's
have,
called changing the conversation.
he's so intentional. So y'all, he said, I don't want to talk about relationships, and we're not uh-huh. talking about relationships necessarily, just dating. It's a little different.
It's a workaround.
It's a workaround. Yeah.
It's like saying that we were classmates.
We were classmates. We definitely sat in some of the same classrooms. Maybe 10 years apart, but we did sit in.
Can we get an amazing close up? Because we don't look 10 years apart, right? And we joke, but I think people need to know that's an amazing beauty regimen you got, because we are not from the same. We ain't even from the same era. I graduated in the 2000s and you from the 1900s. You feel me?
I cannot stand this guy.
Zoom in. Zoom in and show the regimen.
No. There is a regimen, though. Yeah. There is a regimen. All natural. We keep ourselves up well. And lovely. I'm proud of myself. You are always full of compliments.
It's sincere, though. I had to tell them at podcast. I had to tell them because people was too far from you. You smell like money. I had to tell the people.
My D had everybody at the podcast summit coming to experience what I smelled like. Because he took part of his time on stage to tell everybody, like, yo, have y'all smelled Donnie?
I said, hey. Donnie came up her little red bottoms, and we said we had a little prep intro. I said, girl, you're doing well. You're doing well. This ain't middle of the mall. This is
not in the, you can't get this
ain't, this ain't giving that. This ain't this, giving that at all.
This isn't giving that. In my friendships, mm-hmm. I often find myself being, I have to be very, very aware of how analytical I am,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And your mind is even more analytical than mine, I believe, especially, you know, in your area of expertise. Do you find yourself, like, in your friendships, in dating environments, in any of that stuff, like, you have to adjust a little bit because you don't want to be the friend that gets on people's nerves because you're so focused on how to make something better, how to improve a process?
First 35 years of my life, yes. Last 2 years, not really. Because that reduction is also taking place. I'm not doing right by you, and you not doing right by me if we can't truly be all of who we are. Mm-hmm. So I do have the ability to just be mm-hmm. and not do all that. Mm-hmm. But if you called me for that, you're going to get all that.
All of that.
Because if not, it's going to play on loop in my mind.
Yeah.
So, like, let me just help free you, and here you go, right? Mm-hmm. I can't help it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's that's a God-given gift.
Yeah.
Since I was a little kid, I've just learned how to harness and direct it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Versus the skill part where you train it and et cetera. But mm-hmm. I can't help it.
Can't help it.
And I think for a long time I thought I was broken. And now I see it as a superpower. Like I thought my brain was just, I can't slow it down. It won't function how other people's brain function. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Until you realize, well, it's built to do something different. That's now, good. There's your charge is to like maximize that. And I mean it sincerely, and it ain't as sad as it might sound. If this comes at an expense, if me reaching this full potential for what I can do inside of humanity, if this comes at the expense of some friendships, if this comes at the expense of a romantic relationship, so be it. It is what it is. Yeah. I don't know that I can live with the opposite. With a watered down friendship and a cookie cutter relationship. But realistically, I come in the house and go in the basement. You come in the house and go upstairs. And then we play dress up on the weekends when our friends come over because we got a great deck and a barbecue and a swim pool. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. And people think, and I used to think something was wrong with me. That's interesting. Yeah. Like, why would I be willing to say I'll forego that if it means having it in that capacity. I don't want that. Yeah. I don't want that just for the sake of having the title
Correct.
Of friendship. I don't want that just for the sake of having the title of a husband, like this facade. I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen that split environment, and I see it today.
Yeah.
that split environment where you stay in your bedroom and I stay in the kitchen, and then, you know, we go to sleep. We might go through the motion of a hug or a dry kiss goodnight.
Yeah.
And then the friends are over and you're entertaining and doing all the things for the sake of saying you have somebody.
So I think same thing, though, like our parents showed us based off of what they had saw or what they prior, like their upbringing. So it was go to school, work hard, get a job with benefits. We saw something shift. Let's just use the 2000s as a switching point. Mm-hmm. When the world opened up, the learning and the opportunities changed, but we were already educated on an old world. You used to date who lived near you or who went to your school because it wasn't realistic that you could meet somebody six or eight states over, right? And you did whatever your version of marriage was based on whatever version of marriage you've seen. So once we start seeing our parents and uncles and aunts as just humans who were a couple years older than us, we give them some grace.
Yeah.
I think what's happened in our generation is that information is widely available. And there are now communities and populations of people like you. They just might not be directly on your street.
Yeah.
And so you're able to see some, like, I don't know, you're able to get some camaraderie and from a group that may be not directly close to you, right? Yes, you used to be broken or shamed if you didn't fit the mold. And now we're like, well, ain't no molds.
Ain't no molds.
Ain't no molds. So
rip me out the plastic.
Go ahead, no. Turn up, twin. But I think the beauty of it, though, is, and I think you're saying the same thing I'm saying, which is if the real shows up, I'll move mountains for it. But if it don't, then I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, right? And I think a lot of us are in that same space. I hope we can just continue to meet each other and cultivate these things, because I think for those coming behind us and for those looking, that's still a very important part of the picture that needs to be there.
One question I want to ask you to shift gears just a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
I know that my audience is an audience of entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs who listen to these conversations and they're finding themselves in it some way. And they're saying, okay, my D, you had this amazing corporate journey. You came out, you started business, and you've been on an upward trajectory, you know, kind of ever since. What is it that you actually struggle with in your business? Like, what's the challenge that you face that you need some overcoming?
Beautiful. My number one challenge was accepting that I'm not an operations person. I'm not a, and then after this, we do these five things, then these seven things, and then these 10 things. So a lot of my inefficiency came from big picture. Yes. Being able to coin it, make it, get people excited about it. Yes. But then the ability to sit your behind down and do all of the things. No. And so now I've had to both pay and partner for the betterment of that, because it don't do me no good to have these big dreams that I can't fulfill. But same thing, I had to be like, well, you're not broken. You skilled at this, talented at this, passionate at this. And the time it would take you to develop this, find somebody who loved that. So I have a woman on my team. She keeps this thing running and she's so passionate about it. Like, we have meetings and I'm left recharging. She recharged by the big vision I got, and I'm recharged by her ability to take it and synthesize it and make it into something. But entrepreneurs, that might not be, that may not be your next step. You're going to have to be both until you get enough capital or until you get something to then be able to move into these things. But I do want you to know it gets greater later, because you can start to build that team so that it complements your skills. So that's a huge struggle, is the operational piece. Until I found this hobby, there was no balance, because I also derive value from working. So it's easy for me to get in this addictive circle of just work, 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 right? And just be like, oh, I like what I'm doing, right? So separating yourself. And then the last piece is, and we've kind of been talking about it, I think a healthy business is like a Venn diagram. You're here, the business is here, and there's some level of overlap. Mine was the same circle. I was business, business was me. And so as I went, I'm sad, business down. I'm happy, business up. You have to be able to have the business continue to run, and you can cycle through whatever emotions or life circumstances without it impacting the business negatively. So I'm just getting out of that phase to where me and the business is not one the same.
And you believe that your hobby is what helped you to start to,
and didn't even know that what it was. It provided a different level of structure to be like, okay, you can have a piece of you for you. I didn't even assign any value to it. Like, I wasn't saying I'm going to eventually monetize this. It's like, I'm literally walking over, oh, Poison Ivy, don't mind me, right? I knew I was crazy the day I saw a coyote, and then I walked into the woods because I was still on a mission. And I just need to learn how to interact with coyotes. So this is a dog track. That's a coyote track. Coyotes, for the most part, don't bother people unless they're rabid. You will know that based on their actions and behaviors. But for the most part, they stay out your way. You stay out their way. Give them plenty of distance if you happen. Right. And now I got stuff to do. But me from the city, my first shoes I used to wear out there was some Jordans. You know what I'm saying? Just
messing the ones all the way up.
You know what I'm saying? But that gave me the ability to dream different, to see different, and then to say, what is the system I got to put in place so I can just do what I'm good at? Right. So if it's showing up and speaking, all the other things that have to be done. And shout out to my homegirl, Connie. Like, she done spiritual work on me and understanding that part. Mm-hmm. So I can just show up. If it's this, if my job is to show up and speak. So even, for example, my business partner, he drove. I ain't got to drive today. I don't want to think. I don't want to worry about stopping, starting. Just hop in the car, show up, and be on my A game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
What does spiritual work look like for you?
Beautiful question. I think the first part of it, I'll answer for me, but my brain's so wired to answer for others, okay, right? But for me, it looks like first acknowledging that there's something bigger than me driving this thing,
yeah,
right? We can call it God, we can call it Allah, we can call it Jesus, we can call it a bunch of stuff, but like, I'm convinced it's bigger than me. And so I'm always in a state, I'm doing this because there's a cycle of recognizing it, appreciating it, and then asking, am I doing my part in this? So I have a strong synchronicity with sort of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I say things and they show up.
Yeah.
Right. And
is that manifestation for you?
Oh, it's past that. It's pure alignment. Right. I'll tell a small story. I was talking to my friend. She just lost a loved one. Mm-hmm. She's telling me the story of her loved one. And she's like, yeah. And her sister, Aisha. I'm like, Aisha. I get a text from Aisha, a whole different Aisha that's not a part of this.
Mm.
This happens to me 5-7 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I stop and I thank God for this, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'm still pure. I'm still doing what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
I bet, right? So I'm in this feedback loop of like, am I doing my part? You know what I'm saying? So the first part is acknowledging that, respecting it, and then doing what I'm supposed to do. So let's paraphrase that same thing. Like, you, it's like work, like it's only up to you. You know what I mean? But you know that God is here and God is kind of driving those things. That's first. Next is, am I doing right by myself and am I doing right by others? Myself part be getting damaged sometimes, right? So I'm just back getting on my health stuff. I'm getting my water back right. I'm getting my exercise back right. Because it was always, I'll deal with that when the business gets healthier.
Right.
I'm a hired chef.
Yeah.
And a personal trainer. Yeah. If I can just grind, right? And then you realize 5 years that went by and you got a cycle of unhealthy habits that even if a chef and a personal trainer, they got to undo all this.
Yeah.
So do your best to like show up when they show up prepared to participate in the process. So mm-hmm. the God piece, the personal piece, and then like collectively doing right by each other. Mm-hmm. And I gauge that based on like literally my ability to sleep at night. Mm-hmm. If I'm tossing and turning, things are unfulfilled, I feel like I didn't say something, or I got to do all of that part right so that I can go to sleep and wake up clean conscious. Mm-hmm. I had the same phone number since I was 14. Anybody got beef or drama with me, they can hit me, right? If you see me out in the streets, they say, and as long as I got that type of peace and love, like I'm good. Yeah.
So if I go bird watching with you.
I love it. I'm already getting excited.
Will you walk 5 miles with me?
For sure.
You will.
We'll walk 5 miles birding.
Birding? Well, two birds, one walk.
Yeah. We'll get them steps in.
Two birds, one walk.
Get them
Do
steps
you walk
in.
On the weekends?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But I'm like, so now, what? You want to go, which one are we alternating? Because this, my stuff starts at sunrise.
I can figure that out.
Okay.
All right. What time is the sun rising these days? 6-ish?
6:45.
For sure, I can make that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm already up at that time.
I love it.
I'm not typically out of the bed
That's
for
okay.
clarity, but I'm already up and alert.
So y'all, it happened here.
It happened here.
Are we like going to do this content style or are we going to be human style or both?
Whatever you prefer. I don't want to mess up the
birding
process.
You do a good job of vlogging though. No, we're good.
Okay.
Yeah, I got rules.
I don't want the birds to like fly away because I'm like, you know,
I got you.
Zell, you gonna come and document the birding? Yeah,
this gonna be dope. It's gonna be dope. Yeah, for sure.
So, can we make it happen within the next 14 days?
We can.
Okay,
absolutely.
In the next 14 days,
yes,
we'll make that happen.
And the weekend work better for you?
There are days of the week that work well as well. So, but a Saturday morning,
Saturday morning would be great.
Yeah, Saturday morning is real good, y'all.
Now, this is outdoor. You got you some? Do we need to go to REI, get you some shoes and all that stuff, or you got something
you can
do?
Wear
a little
sneakers.
Yeah, but more like your trail shoes, something with a little rugged, because we're gonna be rocks, a little dirt. I just want to make sure you're comfortable.
I'll just buy like some hiking shoes.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I'll send you some recommendations. You got some Hokas or something nice?
I don't want to mess up Hokas though. Those are like the gym shoes.
It's a different one. These are for this.
Am I going to come out muddy?
You can clean them, but they're going to be a little dirty. We can.
I can't just wear some old J's.
You can, but you're not going to be comfortable. Then your feet going to be hurting. And I don't want that for you.
They do hurt.
I don't want that for you.
Okay. Yep. So
I'll send you some recommendations.
Send me some recommendations.
And I'll find something that's not too. We'll start at an entry level place. So it's not real rugged.
For sure. Okay. That works.
But I want you to get the bird experience.
I'm so excited.
This is dope.
We're walking, we're birding, we're vlogging.
Yes.
We're running out. This is what we do to run business.
And we can still talk about anything other than relationships.
And we can talk about anything. Look, it works both ways for me. We can talk about anything other than relationships, okay?
I'm Kettle.
Because I'm the podcast host.
I respect that.
And this
that.
Is what I get to do.
I respect that.
So I love it. My D, you have been outstanding.
I appreciate it.
I would
you.
Love for you to close us out with just a thought or some words or anything that you want to say to this group of entrepreneurs. They see themselves in you. They're inspired by their journey. They're saying, you know what? Because of my D today, I realize I have to show up as myself.
I realize
that I have to do it anyway and do what it takes, do what's required versus one of my favorite things to say is you got to do what's required versus what you can do.
Absolutely.
Right. Versus doing enough. You do what's required, not just enough.
Yep.
If you'll close us out with those entrepreneurs in mind who have enjoyed this conversation, I would appreciate it.
So I wrote this before I was living it, like this pure divine. Keep your self-worth and your net worth in different places. That way, as your money ebbs and flows, your confidence doesn't sway with it. You can make back the money. To a degree, you can even make up the time. But if your confidence goes on this entrepreneurial journey, that is the hardest thing to repair. Right? So that's the key word I would say. The next part is this. We need every part of you as you are. That isn't a permission to be mediocre or to be average, but it is saying that there is space for all of who you are, and you need to show up as such so that people can recognize you that way. It makes everything else easier downstream, doing business, having conversations, and being invited into spaces like this where, I mean, we joke, we laugh, we got a bunch of inside jokes, but I mean, maybe we probably 6-7 years into this, so it means a lot. It's not lost on me that even as you climb your particular mountain, that you still extended an invitation for me to come join you. So I appreciate you building a platform sturdy enough for other people to stand on.
Not thick enough.
Sturdy.
Sturdy.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
thank you for being
it. Appreciate
here.
It, Nitra.
Thank you. Thank you, Nitra. Y'all, they don't know what that even means.
Yeah, yeah.
The first thing that you said, and we're going to leave it at this because I think you just titled your own episode. You said that I keep my self-worth separate from
my network.
My network.
Yeah. Network.
Net worth.
Yes,
net worth.
Absolutely.
And I believe that sums up everything that we've talked about today.
Wow.
Yeah. That's good, my D.
I appreciate you,
you're
man.
You're so deep.
I appreciate
And I
you.
Love it. And you're consistent.
Thank you.
You've been the same guy. Like, and I'm not talking about in success. I'm talking about who you are to your core in character.
Wow.
You've been the same man since I met you in 2017.
Wow.
And I appreciate you always being that guy.
Thank you.
Let's
Thank
get
you.
It.
Appreciate
we're
it.
We're birding, y'all.
Let's do
we're
it.
We're walking, we're vlogging, we're living our lives, we're building business, and we're going to continue to bring you these transparent moments. As usual, comment what you received and what you took from this episode down in the comments, wherever you're watching it. My D laid out so many nuggets. I got so many moments from it. I love these kind of conversations where you're eager to get up and just go to work. Eager to get up and just go start doing something different about yourself in real time. So comment for me what it was for you. And as usual, we'll see you on the next episode of Full Transparency.
Appreciate Bye. It.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.